Oh, let's clap our hands and give the Lord a shout of praise tonight. Jesus, we praise you, God. Oh, Jesus, we give you praise, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, we can do better than that. Jesus, I love you. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I've been reading in my Bible around Joshua chapter number 6. That is where we learn about Jericho and how God gives Joshua instructions about Jericho. And I found it very intriguing, and it's something that has piqued my interest and that I read over and over again. But in those instructions, God tells Joshua, he's like, walk around the walls. Each day you're going to walk around one time. The statistics on that vary. I found out some people say that it was a little over a mile around. Some say it was 13 feet high, which is a little over a story. I choose to think, you know, like to see in my mind, it's these massive walls. Way bigger walls, way more around. Took more time. But they say that God told Joshua, walk around the walls one time. And in that time, you're going to have the priest, and they're going to walk around. You're going to have men guarding the priest in the front and in the back. And I don't want none of them talking, but the priests need to play the trumpets as they walk. And he said, and on the seventh day, you're going to walk around the wall seven times. And on the seventh time, you're going to tell the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the victory. Shout for the battle. Shout for the victory. And Joshua did not ask questions. Joshua didn't ask questions. He just turned to his army and he said, all right, this is what we're going to do. This is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to take place. Now, in Joshua chapter 6, it does not say anything about them questioning Joshua. Well, that sounds goofy. That sounds absolutely nuts. Why do we walk around? We want to take this city. We don't want to, like, exercise. We're not here to lose weight. We're here to capture the city. I don't know. This is all what I'm thinking in my mind. But then Joshua tells them, you're not to say a word. As you walk around, you stay silent. And then on the seventh day, when I command, you shout. That's all you have to do is shout. And I can just picture in my mind as they started walking around the walls. Day one, no progress. Day two, doesn't seem like anything's happening. Day three, four, five, six, it seems like absolutely nothing is happening. Sometimes it seems like that in our lives. We can go time after time and service after service. Nothing is happening. It seems like we're gaining no ground. We're walking the same old path over. Pastor used to preach a message just walking in circles. But on the seventh day, I can imagine there was something different. They woke up and I imagine the hair on their neck was raising up. I imagine there was a little bit of feeling, a little bit of excitement. Hey, there's going to be something different on the sixth. I can just see that on the sixth lap as they came around. Oh, something's about to happen. Something good is fixing to get. Hey, what? This is the last lap and we're going to shout. I don't know. Joshua said the wall's going to fall. Who knows? But all I know is we have won battle after battle. And if you go way to the beginning of the chapter in verse 1, it says Jericho had their walls and everything shut out because of the children of Israel. Word had already spread. The devil was already scared for the children of Israel. Seventh time around, Joshua said, shout unto God because the Lord hath given you the city. There arose a shout, and we know the rest from there. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I believe God's wanting to do something like that here tonight. Y'all might have tried over and over and over again, gaining no ground. But there just takes one service, one more lap, and you have your victory. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands one more time. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As y'all are getting your Bibles and turning to Luke chapter number 8. Jesus, we praise you, God. Hallelujah. That little bit was free. I couldn't figure out how to fit it in. But that is around the same vein. In Luke chapter 8 and verse number 47. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace. Back in verse 47, he says she was healed immediately. We'll get into this later on, but she had this disease for 12 years. Different physicians could not heal her. For 12 years she had this problem, but all it took was one more try, one more chance, and she was healed immediately. There was no treatment, no multi-treatment, multi-day, multi-week, immediately. And just for a little bit of the time, and with the help of the Lord, I'm going to preach to you for a little bit. Do you still have your faith? Do you still have your faith? Let's ask God to help us here tonight. Oh, God, we need. Restore our faith, God. Let the miraculous happen here tonight. Oh, in Jesus' name, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. Clap your hands before you're seated to God. Oh, glory to God. God bless you, and you may be seated. We all know what the definition of faith is. The Bible tells it to us right in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That is the definition of faith. I know Pastor and myself have already expressed and told y'all that in the beginning of that verse it says, now faith, that's not waiting faith, that's not tomorrow faith, that's not in the future faith. That is right now faith, right this very minute. That's my favorite saying, right this very minute, faith. It's not now faith is a summer, so I'm going to wait till tomorrow for my answer. It's not, hey, I know God can do it, but that's not now faith. Now faith is, I believe if I step out of my pew, if I step out of my comfort zone right now, I believe God's going to do what I am asking him to do. If right now, this very minute, I don't care who's watching. I don't care what people think of me. That too many times gets into the way of faith. People say, I've got faith, but I'm scared what people are going to say. I've got faith, but I'm scared what so-and-so's going to think about me. To me, a problem's much bigger than what Brother Hunter thinks of me. If I've got pain in my body, if I haven't been renewed in the Holy Ghost, if I've got some disease I'm dealing with, right now, faith, I don't care what you think, brother, but I'm getting my answer. I'm getting my healing right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. It's also not about disrupting the service. We've heard Pastor talk about that. If you feel this, it's unexplainable. You've probably felt it before. But if you feel this little sensation, this little thing telling you, hey, if you walk up there, you're going to get it. We've heard that's not the devil. The devil don't want you to be healed. The devil wants you hurting. The devil wants you not feeling well. Because if he knows, you're not going to come to church. You're not going to get your answer. More than likely, you're not going to get what you need out of the service either. You got to listen to God telling you, hey, step out of your comfort zone and get your healing right now. Get your deliverance right now. Right this very minute. In Matthew chapter number 7, and this is how I take this. The Bible talks about how God, and I take God is waiting, just waiting on you. He's waiting on me. He is waiting on you to get what you need. Because in Matthew 7 and verse 7, it says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. But it doesn't end there, because in verse 8, Jesus says, for everyone that asketh, he receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, when you go read that, it doesn't say, hey, if you knock, I might open. If you seek, I might put it where you can find it. And if you ask of me, I will consider answering. That's not what it says. It says, to he that asketh, receiveth. And to him that knocketh, he findeth. He opens. And to him that seeks, he finds. In Mark chapter number 10, the Bible tells us of a blind beggar, Bartimaeus. I'm not going to refer to him blind Bartimaeus because he didn't pass away blind. But in Mark chapter 10, verse 46, and they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Now, as I sat back and I looked at this, there's two horrible predicaments here. Number one, he's blind. That is, nobody ever wants to be blind. And number two, he's homeless. He's begging. He's begging for food, or he's begging for alms. It says he was begging for alms. And nobody wants to be in those two situations. But the Bible says when he heard that Jesus was walking by, all he had to do was hear that Jesus was walking by. And in verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. But his story gets even worse. It does not get better, because from there people start telling him, hey, Bartimaeus, shut your mouth, man. Like, God has more important things to do. You're just some poor old blind beggar sitting here by the road. You have nothing. You can't even speak with Jesus. He's too good for you. Shut your mouth, Bartimaeus. But that's not what happened. Bartimaeus did not let anyone get in his way. Yeah. Bartimaeus, it said he cried out the more great, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Yeah. He got more loud. He got more intense. Right. He wanted what he had. Right. There was nothing that was going to prevent him from getting his miracle. Right. There was nothing that was going to get in his way. Right. There was not one person going to tell him how to do it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But the Bible says when Jesus heard him, all he had to do was hear, hey, there's someone crying out. There's somebody crying out. And he said, Bartimaeus, hey, what can I do for you? And he's like, God, that I may receive my sight, that I may receive my sight. And the Bible says, and many charged him, saying, we just talked about, but he cried more a great deal, thy son of God, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And it says, immediately when God touched him, he said, thou may be whole. And immediately he received his sight. Immediately, there was no waiting. He took action, and it was immediately he received his sight. Yeah. Hallelujah. There's another story in Mark chapter number 10. All flipped up here. In Luke chapter number 5. There was a couple of friends who had a friend that needed Jesus. They said he had a palsy. He had a palsy. He could not walk. He could not do anything. And they said they were carrying him that he might go to Jesus, that Jesus might heal him. He said, and behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with the palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. And when they could not find by the way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. In verse 20 and 24, it talks about how they let him in And now Jesus said, marveled. It said, God marveled at their faith. And he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And we know how they charge him and say, hey, nobody can forgive sins but God. And he says, what is easier, for me to heal him or for me to say, thy sins be forgiven? And it says, immediately, once again, immediately he looked down and he says, hey, be thou made whole. He immediately reached down, picked up his bed, and left, praising and thanking God for his healing. And in Luke chapter number 8, we get to our text. We get to our text here tonight. I don't have much longer. But we see that this woman having an issue of blood, and that she has had this issue for 12 years, as I stated. And a woman of 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? And when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee. And thou sayest, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceived virtue is gone out of me. And when the women saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. And she declared unto him, and before all the people that caused it touched them, and she was healed immediately. Yeah. And as we all stand, I'm coming to a close. I've got a question for you. I gave you some examples here. And we can go throughout this building, and we can more than likely talk about people who have been healed, miracles who have been received. But that's all in the past. God can't do that anymore. God doesn't heal anymore. That's been too long ago. He is still in the healing business. My God is in the deliverance business. My God can erase your past. My God can make you whole. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But I'm telling you right now, it's not going to take you just sitting in your pew. It's not going to take you just sitting there asking God mediocrely, hey, God, I need you. You're going to have to press through. You're going to have to get your answer another way. If it takes coming up to the front in front of everyone, is that what you're willing to do? Do you still have faith?